And we've got to introduce it, so. You ready, Shane?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll call the meeting to order. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2006-64, C. Walton Smith and care of Robert Hayes.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Nanticoke 100, Sussex County, dividing 5.46 acres into four lots located north of a 50-foot private road known as Bass Road, approximately 3,950 feet northerly of Road 527 and being south of Collins Pond. This application was reviewed by Tackman.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'd ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments.
Mr. Wheatley, the TAC review of May 23rd of 07 will be made a part of the record. On April the 3rd, we received a letter from David Rutt, attorney. He was requesting permission to submit an exhibit booklet after the 10-day rule that the commission adopted.
Okay.
Everything that was in the booklet was in the file except for a recorded plan. We've provided each of you a copy of the booklet. Received a letter from Mr. Robertson. He's reviewed the restrictive covenants and found them acceptable. There was a letter from Alan James in support of this application, and that'll be made a part of the record. And today we received a letter with some concerns from Linda and Richard Messick, and I've provided each of you with a copy of that letter. That'll also be made a part of the record. Go ahead unless you have any questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. In regard to the late submission, I don't think that's particularly an issue in this case, gentlemen. By the looks of things, I take it you have an interest in this application,
yes,
sir?
Richard Messick, Dick Messick.
Okay.
Adjacent to the
room. Okay, you had an opportunity to look at the file, or?
I'm actually just talking to the submitter right now.
Are you?
I talked to Alan Jones, who submitted a letter before.
Okay. All right, just to make sure.
He just
sure
looks you're different without his bass guitar.
Just want to make sure. Just want to make sure that we're not slighting anybody, and or that there wasn't anyone who had a came to look at the file and it wasn't there, and apparently there wasn't. So we're fine. We'll let it stand. And Mr. Blank, you have anything else?
I believe, if I understand it right, the information that was provided in the booklet was going to be presented by the applicant anyway.
Right. I don't think it's an issue, and the chair recognizes Mr. Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
James Sharp, attorney with the law firm of Moore & Rutt. My bar ID number is 4913. Mr. Rutt could not be here this evening, and I'm filling in for him. With me today is the applicant, Mr. Walt Smith, his son, Susan Hayes, and her husband, Bob Hayes. I just wanted one moment of clarification on the book. Is it now part of the record, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is now part of the record. So you don't have to read it to us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Wasn't planning on, but just wanted to be sure.
Wanted to clarify that.
What we're proposing here today is a four-lot subdivision on 5.465 acres out near Bridgeville. It's in an AR1 district, and currently there is an existing cabin on one of the lots. The parcel was part of a larger tract that was subdivided in 1974. That plot, which is a good view of the area, so you can be found in Exhibit C. It's a larger plot. Plot from which you can see it was approximately 20 acres on Collins Pond, and it was divided into thirds. The parcel we're talking about, if you look at Exhibit C, is on the far right. There has already been a lot subdivided off of that approximately 10 years ago, and there is an existing home on that property currently. The middle tract on that 74 plot was also subdivided, and I have enclosed for your convenience a copy of the current tax map. I believe that is Exhibit G, which shows that parcel has been divided into four parcels. And then the farthest west parcel is still a 6.8 and 8.334 acre parcel. My understanding is there is a home currently on that parcel. We believe that the proposed, what we're proposing today is in compliance with the AR1 purpose. It's for low density single family homes. We plan on promoting the scenic values being on the Collins Pond, as well as there's tree farms nearby, and we plan to be consistent with that. In fact, we've put in the proposed restrictive covenants restrictions on tree removal of a certain size, with the exceptions for building of a home, if the tree was dead or rotted, safety purposes, that sort of thing. There may be, if wanted just to address it early, there may be a concern about wetlands. We did not do a wetlands delineation study. This was such a small project that the applicant wanted to see if conceptually this was something the commission would approve of. It's our understanding from the TAC comments that there, Denrec had some concerns that there may be some wetlands there. We were prepared, if preliminary approval would be granted, to have we're willing to have a condition imposed that a wetlands delineation study be conducted, and then if there's any wetlands found, that those wetlands would be put in a homeowners association. We would amend the restrictive covenants to allow for a homeowners association, so that those would be a common area, and also do the appropriate buffering if need be. But frankly, given the size of this, it's only three additional homes, and it's my understanding that he's not planning to add more than one additional home in the foreseeable future. It just didn't make sense to go through the cost and the time of doing that study at this time. This project, we believe, fits all of the permitted uses under AR1, also the permitted accessory uses. Perhaps boat docks could be put there, garages, barbecue grills, pools, pets, that sort of thing. There are no proposed conditional uses and no proposed special use exceptions. The only signs we're proposing are for sale signs indicating if the lot was for sale. We're proposing to meet all of the height, width, lot size requirements, depth, width, that sort of thing. And we are compliant with, prepared to comply with all additional regulations should they be applicable. Also believe we comply with the subdivision ordinance, section 999C. Plan on integrating into the existing terrain. As we said, we're trying to protect the trees that are already there, and plan on integrating native trees and shrubs into the community as needed. Minimal use of the wetlands. Again, we don't. There are no known wetlands there. Again, we're willing to do the study to find out if there are, and those would be placed in the homeowners association with a buffer. Unaware of any natural, historical features on the property, we are willing, the applicant is willing to comply with the state historical, Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs in the event that historical artifacts are discovered there. Again, we've talked about the preservation of scenic views and the open space. Frankly, it's got great views of a waterway that is privately owned. Pond, and would like to protect that as well. It's very important for the resident or potential residents to have a nice view of a waterway.
It's different than that.
Minimization of the tree and vegetation soil removal. Again, we're planning to protect the trees. Soil and grade changes will be minimized during construction, only for proposed utilities and proper drainage. Objectionable features from neighboring properties. Again, we're talking about putting in trees, keeping trees, putting shrubs in. So anything that would be objectionable would be covered. We're talking about a very small community here, so we're not looking at something where you're putting large stormwater management ponds or things like that in the community. Provision for water supply. Currently, my understanding is that the homes in that area all have on-site septic and on-site well water. The plan is to continue to do that with these lots if approval is granted. The applicant is willing, however, in the event that central water or central sewer becomes available to hook up to those systems, assuming they come out to him. As far as surface water and groundwater pollution, if there are any septic systems, they will be installed per all relevant state and federal regulations. And erosion and sedimentation control procedures will be put in place to minimize runoff. Again, we're planning on keeping trees also. We're hoping that that would minimize any runoff. And again, if there are wetlands there, that would be protected as well, again, creating a buffer between the homes and the pond. For safe vehicular traffic, if you go to Exhibit F, that is a copy of the proposed subdivision. It's a survey of the proposed subdivision. And Bass Road is the main road into the community. It's a privately owned road. It dead ends at the end of this parcel. Those four lots, the current home that's already there goes to Bass Road. That leads to Road 527. And our belief is that the other three lots would have driveways that would also lead onto Bass Road, and they would go out to 527 as well. Any impact on the traffic there would likely be minimal. We're talking three additional dwelling units. And we're talking about a very small area. I'm not quite sure exactly how large Bass Road is, but perhaps if you had questions for Mr. Smith, he could answer those for you. So we think that it would be a community that it would be easy to navigate around, easy to access from a public roadway. There are no this property is currently not being used as farmland, so there's no concern about the effects of that farmland. There are tree farms nearby, and he plans to, again, work to make sure that he integrates into that community as well. Property values, believe that with the quality single-family homes being put here, we put in the restrictive covenants no mobile homes, stick-built homes only. So those are the type of things that would likely increase the property values for that community. Effect on public schools and public buildings, this is, again, we're talking three additional dwelling units, so we think it would be negligible any impact on these public facilities. And this is, my understanding, is within the Indian River School District. Compatibility with other area land uses. Again, there are five current dwelling units on Bass Road. One is currently on that original 6.8-acre parcel. There's already two homes on that original parcel. There are two more on the next one, and I believe there's one on the first one that you pull into. It's consistent with how all those homes are there. They're rather large lots. All of them are over an acre. A few of them are, one of them is almost, one's 1.5 acres, one's 1.4 acres. So we're talking some large lots that would be consistent with what is currently in that area. And again, the effect on the area runways, we've touched on the preservation of tree cover, and if there are any wetlands to be found, we would put those buffers in there to protect the Collins Pond, certainly as residents who would use Collins Pond or live adjacent to it, they would have an interest in protecting that that as a scenic area and also as a area of waterway. We have proposed, and in the exhibit booklet, there are several conditions. We have seven of them listed. First one is the applicant shall comply with any DLDOT requirements for entrances. Again, that's something that we're willing to do. Being it's a private road, that may be a little different, but we're certainly willing to work with them on any such requirements. We'll arrange for a wetlands delineation study if the commission were to grant preliminary approval, and then any wetlands would be put in the homeowners association and buffered between those and the lots. On-site well water and on-site septic, with the caveat that if central water or central sewer came to the property line, they'd be willing to hook up to it. Any historical features, again, we're willing to comply with the Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs. And any grade and soil changes shall be limited only to what's needed for proper drainage and proposed utilities. This is a small development here, and we're just looking at this as an idea. Is this something that the commission would approve of as a concept? Obviously, there would need to be more work done as far as studies and site plans prepared, but we're willing to do that if the commission finds this as a concept that is acceptable. If I could have Mr. Smith, would you come up to the podium, please? Please state your name.
Walt Smith, I'm from Bridgeville.
Mr. Smith, you've heard everything I've heard said today. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
So that is your testimony?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have any comments you'd like to make?
Well, I purchased this 25 years ago, and my original goal was to divide it up in five lots and leave it to my children. So this is essentially what I'm trying to do. That and no more. The Collins Pond is a private pond, and you have to be a member in order to use the pond. I purchased five memberships for my youngins years ago when they became available, so we're set up pretty good as far as that's concerned, if they're interested in the pond.
Okay. Thank you.
I have nothing.
Any
further
questions?
We might have one or two. We're going to find out, okay? And if that concludes your presentation.
That concludes our presentation.
All right, then. Well, Mr. Gordy, we'll start with you.
Mr. Sharp did a thorough job. I don't have many questions. Is most of the lots wooded now? Are they all wooded?
All wood.
Okay. This 100-foot buffer, forested buffer, was that a condition on another subdivision, or is this that's what it is, 100 feet of?
On the exhibit in the book, it shows 100-foot forested buffer.
100-foot forested buffer.
He's looking at the one all the way in the rear.
Yeah.
Oh, in the rear? Which one? Which exhibit are you looking at?
The last one.
Oh, F.
Yeah. It says 100-foot buffer, and it's hard to believe that it would just do that way.
This one.
I was wondering how that got there, too.
Yeah.
It's a long column.
This is what he's talking about.
State's
It's because the state recommended it in the TAC comments. Is that why it's in there?
That's interesting, because the copy that I had been going off of from Miller Lewis, which was I sent this to them to get copies made, does not have that 100-foot forested buffer in there. So I had assumed when we put this together that this one that I had been going off of was this one. I didn't realize.
Is that one in the file, the one you have?
The one that I have here is probably not.
Well, why don't you submit that?
Yeah.
The one in the file doesn't have the buffer. That's the one
doesn't,
that went through.
Oh,
tech.
It doesn't have it.
Oh, okay.
It
does
not. All right. Good. It's in the
okay.
file.
Okay. Yeah, and I don't that one. The one that was in the file previously, I thought was the one we'd put in the book.
Okay.
So I don't. That's news to me. I apologize for the confusion.
I think it was picked up because it was a recommendation from the state. Yeah. I don't know that it's anything that we're going to make it do.
I just want.
It's not a requirement of the Bond Association or anything in it.
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
I just thought it just showed like a 100-foot buffer. I'm just going to understand how it got to be 100-foot.
Yeah,
and that's it.
That was news to me, so that must have been a change we'll have to talk to the surveyor about.
Questions.
We'll let that be a mystery. Mm. Okay. Mr. Smith?
No questions, sir.
Mr. Johnson?
Did I hear you say you've had a septic feasibility study done?
We have not. We would be willing to have one done if that's a condition that the commission would require as part of the
typically program. We don't vote on them until we get septic feasibility.
Okay.
It isn't it's not a big deal. It's just something you have to do. Everybody has to do it. And
My understanding is the other lots on there are all septic without mounds, so.
Yeah. It's not.
Everything is standard out there.
Not an expensive.
It's sandy process. Ground.
Yeah, we understand that. We kind of need something from the septic folks that tells us that. Not that we doubt your word, but I'm just saying that we need something from Denrec that tells us that. And that's not an expensive proposition. So.
It's certainly something we would be willing to do.
And am I correct in that access to Collins Pond is through membership in the Collins Pond Association?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And on Bass Road, I've heard you talk about it's a private road. Who's responsible for maintaining it?
Well, we haven't gotten to that yet. I think that that will be one of the things that we will have to address.
Who's we?
The landowners that border the road, Bass Road.
The existing landowners that are there now are the ones that might be there if you subdivide?
Well,
both.
I would advise.
We might make it into a.
My understanding is that it's
for your own benefit.
They have deeded access over it. All of the lots on those three larger parcels we had talked about, which some of which have been previously subdivided, all use that road. I haven't looked at the document, but my understanding is that they have it's probably like a regular easement where they have duty to right to maintain and that sort of thing. So I would assume that that's a joint responsibility with the other landowners there, and that's certainly something that would be and should be addressed.
And Mr. Robertson, is that an issue that has to be addressed in terms of the maintenance of the roads?
I can't say for sure, not knowing.
I mean, when a property keeps getting subdivided further and further,
at what point
do they have to meet the county specs for the road?
What?
In this one, they would have to do it at least across lots 1 through 4, because it's 4 lots you can do to crush or run.
Right.
And one of the things I quickly read in the Messick letter to the commission was concern about the, you know, what impact the construction might have on the lots between where the construction would take place and where you get back out to the public road, you know, with the heavy trucks and the removal of, stumps and hauling in dirt, et cetera. Is that an issue that we as a commission should be addressing?
Well, I can't say because I don't know the circumstances with respect to this road, you know, without looking into it a little more. I mean, who owns it, who has maintenance over it, and that type of thing. It sounds like it's not a state road or a county road or anything like that.
My understanding is it's a private road.
It appears on the tax map that it, but the tax map doesn't show the route. So it's an easement. It appears to be an easement across Glatfelter properties or whoever owns that property now.
Something that needs to be looked at, that's for sure.
Okay. Looked at by us as a commission or by the applicant in terms of their...
Well, I mean, it sounds like we're going to have to require improvements on it from lots 1 through 4 to get it up to crush and run. I'm looking at the chains up there. It looks like there needs to be a cul-de-sac or something probably. But yeah, it needs to be... I think there needs to be more information about who owns the road and what the maintenance obligations are going to be, particularly if there's going to be some condition put on it by the commission.
And at the rear, you're talking about either a cul-de-sac or perhaps a 3-point turnaround?
I'll defer to Shane on that. I'm just looking at his drawing.
Lawrence and I were talking. I mean, the fire marshal, just by one of their regs, it's more than 300 feet, just this section, so they're going to have to provide a turnaround on fire marshal regs.
The only place they could put it would be on the site. You can't make it go on, impose it on Glatfelter because they're not the applicant.
Well, I think what we were looking at, if that was something that was required, we would have the cul-de-sac cut into lot 4, which is, the, I believe, the largest of the 4 lots, and have that as part of the cul-de-sac, and then the remaining part would be on what's the existing easement anyhow.
Yeah, we have enough land area because you can flip-flop your land lot lines around a little bit to make it work.
Sure.
So the cul-de-sac won't take away from your number of lots. Now, the question we had in the office was, as Shane said, we need the cul-de-sac. Well, do we have to make improvements to the road? Wasn't that waiver wasn't applied for, so the condition had to be imposed. And then the other question would be on the Glatfelter property. I'm assuming, being it's Glatfelter's property, that it's got a conservation or a maintenance easements for maintaining a tree farm. Then it's an agriculture use, so you'd have to have the 30-foot buffer at least drawn, because it's all, your lots are all wooded. And then that third last 30 foot of that parcel not be utilized for any purpose other than
of lot four,
the last lot.
Okay.
To be a buffer from Glatfelter, since they're an agriculture use.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think that was it, wasn't it, Shane?
Yeah.
You're in for a surprise, though. It ain't Glatfelter anymore, it's Tunnel.
But, well, then the question would be, I'm just saying, but the question would be, does Tunnel have a conservation? You have to verify that, too. If they do, then it has to be, you still need to do the buffer.
Yeah, there might be 1,000 houses out there before.
I do remember that was transferred then, I believe.
We can certainly look into that.
Yeah.
Find out those answers for you.
And who adjoins the east side of your property? You know, on the other side of lot four, what happens there?
That's what we're talking about.
Is that where the tunnel
is? That's all Tunnel now.
Okay, so Glad, before it became Tunnel or whoever it is now,
that was Glatfelter.
Wrapped around that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think it kind of does one of these. Bass Road kind of does this, and that tree farm goes like that.
Okay. I have no questions. All right, sir. Mr. Link.
No, I just basically stated my questions or concerns that we had in staff.
All right. Mr. Katz.
I understand that the there's not a requirement for the forested buffer, but are you willing to offer some kind of a buffer along the pond?
Okay. Okay.
That's all.
There was an offer. It was raised in the TAC comments about
right.
suggesting a 100-foot buffer from forested buffer from Collins Pond.
Okay. Got it.
Good question.
Council, no questions.
Oh, if I may, kept thinking there was something else we looked at, staff. It's already been discussed that you need to delineate your wetlands. You'd also need to show us where the flood zone boundary is as far as notation or draw the line on that requirement of the site plan review process. And it would be, if I remember right, that's an A zone, so it has to be determined by the surveyor where that boundary is.
All right then, gentlemen, if you would take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-64, C. Walton Smith, care of Robert Hayes? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir, step right up.
Hi, I'm Richard Messick. We live on the lot immediately west, 19826. Excuse me, Bass Road.
Mm-hmm.
I've enjoyed this tonight. I haven't been down to one of these. My wife worked on Georgetown Planning and Zoning, but it was interesting hearing how all this works. I teach fourth grade over here. It'd be cool to bring some of them down sometime.
Now you know what she was doing all those long nights.
I know what she was doing all those long nights. I grew up in Rehoboth, born in Lewis, lived in Philly for 4 years after college, have been in Georgetown since I was married 20 years ago, and we moved out to Collins Pond about 3 years ago. We bought the lot. We're not opposed to neighbors at all. We have wonderful neighbors down there, Alan Jones and Burl Martin, and don't really get to see our third neighbor immediately adjacent to us. Just a couple concerns, and you guys have asked most of the questions we had. I would be preaching to the choir to say the Smiths, because they've owned that land a long time, that one of our main concerns is the pond. I did pull up something on the internet last night to look for wetland delineation, and it was very rude, but it showed like a green outline. So we wanted to make sure that the pond was taken care of most of all, or one of the main things, the wetlands. Linda had looked through the files. She said there were some things, and I'm not real into the ecological squirrels, but she said there were some endangered species. But just as long as all those things are noted and taken care of, we're fine with that. I think our main concern is the road, and you brought that up. Right now, there are the four houses that people live on, and actually in the Davis house, the third one, they are there hardly at all. And Burl Martin, who lives in two down, It's not there at all. It was a gravel road. It is mostly, and it's probably been, I'm guessing, I'm an engineer, maybe 10, 12 years ago that they did this, and now it's basically a dirt with some gravel coming up through. Tremendous amount of potholes. It's single lane. I'm not too kind of, as they said, there's only going to be three lots, more houses put down there at maximum, so it's not going to be a volume concern. It's going to be taking care of the road. We want to make sure that it's not just, that we are now responsible for taking care of the road because some new people come in. They seem very nice. I hope we do get them as neighbors. I hope we get it worked out and get the road improved because that would be huge for us. That's our main concern, the road. So if they get, if that is done, what will happen to the road? I don't know who owns it. I didn't know the tunnel owned the land across. My wife also worked with, Linda worked with the Land Conservatory, I think, for a while. And I thought that land was part of that where it couldn't be developed, but maybe that's not true. I thought she said that land had been donated or designated, so I'm not sure on that. But the road would be our main thing. We want to make sure there is, they have the one already, they have a dwelling on the one lot, and the road's actually, there's a cul-de-sac in front of our house. The turnaround. So right now the road does not go through actually the end of our, probably the last 70, maybe 50 to 70 feet of our lot. And actually we let the Smiths, when they come down to use the hunting cabin, cut through part of our land to get there. So that's our main concern. And you guys addressed all those concerns with the road, who's going to be responsible. There is no homeowners association. In the past year, the repairs have been done by myself and my son and Mr. Jones. We've been out with a trailer of Crusher Run and filling up the potholes, and it just takes one rain and then just the few cars that are there now to bring the potholes back. And while the volume is not a lot, as they said, it's still going to be, if potentially three houses are there, it's potentially twice the traffic is there now. It's not 1,000 cars, but it's twice as what there is now, and it's hard to keep that road. The other two neighbors, we haven't had any luck, in getting help completely regravel the road. And that's, those are our concerns, just making sure the pond's taken care of because it's beautiful out there. As I said, they know. They were wise enough to buy the land many years ago. We were lucky enough that our parcel came from them where we bought. So we're lucky enough to be there. We want to make sure the pond's taken care of and the road situation. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. We thank you. For anyone else would like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.